This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One.
When Michael and Kathy Dumont relocated from Rhode Island back in 2007, more than 14 commercial buildings in downtown Linden, Tennessee were abandoned and boarded up. The Dumonts, smitten with downtown Linden's historic architecture, purchased and restored the old Commodore Hotel. The rebirth included a street-facing cafe and weekly live music concerts. Before long, other real estate investors followed suit, and today every downtown commercial building houses a thriving business. I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer. Come along and join me at the Commodore Hotel to learn the rest of the story of Linden, Tennessee's rebirth.
Hi, I'm Michael Dumont.
And I'm Kathy Dumont, and we own and operate the Commodore Hotel and Music Cafe in Linden, Tennessee.
Tell us the history. How did you guys come to this region, and how did you get the guts up to restore a hotel?
Well, we're from the state of Rhode Island, and we bought a second home here, a farm actually, and we came here to be part-time farmers.
Get away from the city.
And so was it accidental how you became a hotelier?
Absolutely. Our background is real estate development. It's in our blood. We see real estate. We always want to purchase real estate and put it back in service.
Improve it.
We noticed this great old building here in downtown Linden that had been derelict for about 25 years.
So literally boarded up.
Literally. And we decided that was a great project to get involved in.
And we had fallen in love with this area. We saw some property online and came here to visit and just knew we were meant to be here. Then we spent about 2 or 3 weeks here one Christmas. And then the day we were supposed to leave, we were eating breakfast and I just started crying in my pancakes saying, I don't want to leave. I don't want to go back to Rhode Island. I want to stay here in Tennessee because we just loved it so much and the people are so friendly and it was just such a great climate. And anyway, it was a little bit after that we actually saw the hotel and started thinking about that.
Tell us about the process of restoring the structure.
Well, a brick building, so the outside wasn't in terrible shape. The roof was awful. The plaster was down everywhere inside. Nothing had been done in many, many years. No adequate plumbing or heating or electrical, so just started pecking away. The restoration part, because of our background, was relatively easy. We managed to get through that. Lots of reward. People seemed to be happy that we're bringing this building back to life because it had been an eyesore here in town for quite a few years.
Yeah, we used to get people coming in all the time, every day. Half my day was spent giving people tours of the property. You know, even though we were in the middle of repairing it and everything else, they would just say, thank you for saving this building. I have memories of coming here as a child and everything, and it's so important to the town history and we're just so glad that you all are taking care of it.
Who built the hotel originally, and what was that first incarnation like?
Well, Robert Staley built the hotel in 1939, and we've even heard stories about a mule with a shovel attached to his back, scooping out to put the foundation in, scooping out the dirt and everything, which I think is a great story. Anyway, he built the building and ran it for about 20, 25 years, and it changed hands a few times after that. And then it became a private home in the 70s and early 80s. They still rented a couple of rooms, and actually a few rooms were a law office. Then it was vacant for, we think, about 20, 25 years before we bought it.
And Staley, he was a pioneer here, and he did this in his latter years, right?
Yep.
He was in the sawmill business. That was his background, and I don't know why he got into the hotel business, but he, in 1939 in this area, to build a substantial brick building, that was end of the Depression.
It's still in the Depression. They didn't know it was over yet.
That was quite the venture.
Yeah, guts. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Who was he going to cater to?
My guess is traveling salespeople. At that time, this is Route 100 and 412. That was one of the main thoroughfares between Memphis and Nashville.
Okay.
Right. So I mean, there's an interstate, but before.
Yeah, so I think he was probably catering to, you know, door-to-door salespeople that went from town to town. We've heard a lot of stories about famous people driving through here, like Elvis, for instance. Supposedly his car broke down here in town. He got a shave and a haircut.
Right.
So that's one of the great folklore stories, I guess,
right,
of this
area.
Right,
that's right.
And so we can just imagine sitting here, you know, Elvis and Johnny Cash and all those famous musicians driving back and forth between Nashville and Memphis.
Because it was a main arterial.
Yeah.
But now you're bypassed, right? So people have to seek you out, sometimes by accident.
That's correct.
That's right.
That's correct.
That's right.
Yep,
but if you want to get off the beaten path and actually see the American countryside,
Main Street, you're definitely stepping back in time.
Well, we think that's our competitive advantage. You know, if you think about like location, well, everyone wants to be in the city location-wise, but we're finding that travelers want to get out of the cities and they want to come to a place like this where they can relax, not worry about having to lock their car. Not where you have to about paying $40 to park your car, things
right,
like that.
Right.
So I think that is our advantage. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What was the economic driver here back in 1939?
Logging. It's timber country, so, and some farming. You know, it's more hilly than flat, but there are a lot of farmers, and there were a lot of farms at one time.
And you're basically riverfront. You're right on the river, and you guys have kayaks that you take people out on. So again, first, going back in time, was there a river economy here?
You're speaking about the Buffalo River, which is like right in our backyard, literally.
Okay.
The Tennessee River is also very close. This hill is a river economy on the Tennessee River. We're about 10 miles from there. It does border this county.
So you take kayaks out right down the street, right?
Yes, we do. We bought some property right on the river, and we use it as recreational resort-type property for our customers. And
there's great fishing there, swimming, kayaking.
We do a couple of different runs on the river. You float down the river. You don't paddle up the river. And
much rather float down.
Most people do.
Much more enjoyable.
Us as well.
Yeah.
We do a 5-mile run and a 10-mile run. And spectacular. I mean, you see all types of wildlife. There might be two houses on that whole stretch of river. So it's not developed. There's seldom you see boats out there. We feel like we're going back in time and like reliving like the Lewis and Clark adventures. Mm-hmm. Right? That's what it feels like to us.
That's so cool. So you have on-site cuisine, breakfast, lunch, dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And then the best kept secret, which we've held for last, music, live music. Tell us about that. It's so cool.
Well, we have live music every Friday and most Saturday nights, and we bring in these great musicians, being right next to Nashville Music City and even Memphis, home of the blues. We have great musicians right in our backyard, and they love coming here. They love the small, intimate venue. They love our customers, are always so warm and genuinely interested and listen to their music. And so we have great musicians that come, and we have a fun time coming up with different specials for food and drinks. We also have a speakeasy bar, and so it's really a totally different experience and on Friday and Saturday nights.
Probably goes without saying, my mind's going, you gotta have this cadre of people, repeat hotel guests, who come to stay here to key in with the live music.
Yes.
Yeah,
and with the different activities that we do. For example, we did a star party this fall out at our farm and invited some of these people that are longtime, you know, repeat guests, had them into our home, basically, to experience nature, to have a big bonfire, a cookout. We had a NASA ambassador come and give us a
Ultimate star show.
Exactly. It was really amazing. And
right here in Linden, Tennessee.
That's right.
Nothing we haven't touched on are the rooms. How many rooms are there, and basically how are they set up?
We have 20 rooms, which is in several different buildings. Some are very historic. Some have been, and when I say historic, we have great internet here. We have satellite television. We have bathrooms in every room, which is a big consideration for a lot of our customers. We have some very large rooms, which is unusual for historic hotels.
You've had some pretty incredible people stay at your hotel. There's one that comes to mind, Dr. Biden. Tell us about that.
Well, Dr. Jill Biden stayed here when she was visiting the community, Save the Children charity work that she is involved in. So she came with her Secret Service team.
Were you blindsided when that happened?
A little bit. We only knew a few days beforehand, and it was right when the transition was happening from Obama to Trump. And so she still had her full detail. Uh-huh. And I think it was something like 12 Secret Service people with her. Yeah,
they sent an advanced team down.
Yeah, there was an advanced team from Memphis that came of three people and spent a day touring the property and going over every inch of the place. Secret Service people were amazing, and Dr. Biden was amazing, really super friendly.
So
and
you got to talk
everything.
With her?
Just real briefly. Yeah, really, really brief.
That's so cool.
But it was a neat experience and a great experience for the town as well.
You guys, you had to have considered yourselves risk takers when you decided to bite this one off. It was a different downtown. There were a lot of empty buildings. Tell us about then and now and why and how the town has evolved.
Well, no doubt, when we first came here, it was a vacant, distressed downtown. There were 14 vacant buildings, not a lot of activity in the downtown. The buildings had been, bygone era, not much going on. So when we started this, it was a real estate development project for us. It was never meant to be this passion that we now have for what we do.
But did you ever question your sanity?
Oh, no doubt. Like I think when we first opened our doors, we realized we had no customers. Because we didn't come here with a built-in business, and there was no real tourism in this area. We took off those rose-colored glasses and we said, we need to get to work and get some people to come here. It's been a slow evolution, but through the years we've seen a tremendous transformation. The town now is all the retail space is fully occupied. We have a great retail mix, 30 working artists working in town, which is a really good destination draw. You can come here, you can buy handmade products, you can actually do art. They have art classes here in town. Many of our guests take advantage of these types of services. So
get a massage or facial.
Yeah, we have a spa presence, sure. So to look back 14 years ago and see what the town has become, it's very satisfying that I don't think we could have even vision cast it at that point.
By default, you guys might have been the literal Kickstarters. Set the motion.
I think someone has to go first. Someone has to do some outside investment. Over time, we were able to acquire 5 buildings here in town, and we think that they were all significant part of the local history and the local culture. So it's been very satisfying for us to actually preserve that and put that back into service, like an adaptive reuse that meets the needs of people in the 21st century.
Well, right now, even though we're in the midst of COVID world, it's a real viral real estate market, right?
It's been a great market here in town, in this whole county this year. People are looking to get out of the urban areas. They're looking, we have a lot to offer here. We have great outdoor activities. We've got wonderful people, open space. It's affordable.
Fresh air, fresh water. Lots of water.
Yeah, and so we've seen many, many people. And we get to see them first because they come and they stay with us initially as they start looking for land. So we get the feedback, and they know that we're transplants. So they're really curious to see, hear our story and how we've lived here and thrive here.
All right. Well, unfortunately, we're out of time, which means I have to come back.
Great. And I look forward to it.
Right. Yeah. You should.
Okay. So before we go, for further information, where would you direct somebody?
On social media, we're on Facebook and Instagram, Twitter, YouTube.
Search.
Commodore Hotel Linden. Yeah, that's our website, commodorehotellinden.com. My name is Kathy Dumont.
And my name is Michael Dumont.
And my name is Tom Wilmer, reporting from Linden, Tennessee. We'll see you here. This show is the 7th in a multi-part series showcasing Nashville's Big Backyard, an economic and tourism initiative that follows the Natchez Trace National Parkway in Tennessee's southwest quarter down to the Shoals region in northern Alabama.
My name is Roseanne Cash. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. And if I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided in part by the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. People often associate the Society of St. Vincent de Paul with thrift stores. Donations like clothing, your gently used couch, or still serviceable washing machine generate funds to assist the society in putting food on the table for people in need, or keeping the lights on and families in their homes. To find a St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in your area, visit svdpusa.org.
Well, I'll be turning 33 next Friday morning. Friday morning 15 years ago, my grandfather called me to his bedside, and he told me there was something I should know. He said, don't stray too far from the land, boy. The land will one day set you free. When the cities all are dying, the folks up there are crying, the land will save you, wait and see. So I loaded up my car and moved to Denver to work a job and chase big city dreams. But I never found the life I really wanted till I came back home to Leaper's Fork, Tennessee. He said, don't stray too far from the land, boy. The land will one day set you free. When the cities all are dying, the folks up there crying, the land will save you, wait and see. It didn't hit me quite as hard then as those words come through today. But in the chaos all around me, I can still hear Grandpa say, don't stray too far from the land, boy. The land will one day set you free. When the cities all are dying, the folks up there crying, the land will save you, wait and see.